thought for today. I am at peace with the world I have created. I love it. I am at peace with the world I have created. I love it. I am at peace with the world I have created. I love it. Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God and know that it is true? Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God? Because that's all there is. Beautiful song. It reflects exactly what we believe about ourselves. We know we're the creator of our world, and we know that everything that we create is good and beautiful. We know that everything we create is a reflection of ourself. That's why we can also sing, "Now I am only perfection, and I'm perfect in every way. Each time I look in the mirror, I see only God in me. To know me is to love me. I know I am God, God I am. Now I am only perfection, and I'm perfect in every way. Now I am only perfection, and I'm perfect in every way. Now I know I am God, God I am. Now I know I am God, God I am." So, think about that. Are we the creator of our world? Do we create everything in our world?
He said, "Why didn't you let me join in that singing too? I would have liked to join in that singing."
Sure you would. That's my show today. I am the creator of my world. I like my world. I like my voice.
I am only perfection and perfect in every way.
No matter how I sing, I like me. When I'm off on the top of the mountain and nobody can hear me, I'm singing and shouting and hollering and having a good old time. Because I like the world I created. Even when I'm down below in the valley, I like the world I created. How about you? Do you like the world you created? Do you love it? Do you think the world you created is just wonderful? Do you think the world you created is just supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Think about it. Do you really think it is that way? If you don't, then you're stupid. You're an idiot. You're creating it wrong. If a little child continually goes around doing something that he shouldn't be doing, and he gets a spanking every time, "Why do you always spank me every time I do that?" "Because that's not nice." "Well, if I want to pull my sister's hair, I can pull her hair." "Oh, no, you can't. You can pull your hair if you want. But you can't pull your sister's hair." Now, if you create your sister wanting you to pull her hair, then you can do that. "Well, she wanted me to. She's always picking on me." "Yeah, she may be picking on you, but that's her hair, and she may not agree with it." You know, we agree to things, and then we change our mind. Do you have the right to change your mind? Do you have the right to change your mind once you said yes to something or no to something? Sure do. Do you change your mind? Often. Why do they sing this song from Shakespeare? "Woman so changeable, light like a feather, none can tell whether you can believe her." Well, now that's just a man looking at a woman seeing that. Well, now what does a woman looking at a man say? "Man is so changeable, you can't believe him. He tries to deceive you, no matter if you believe you," or something like that, you know. Yeah. Poet, I really passed poetry with the flying colors. They opened the door and said, "Leave." No, I was in a poetry class, really I was. I was in Parnassus, a poetry club, when I was in high school, because my poetry was so good. And now that I read it and I see, compared to the other guys, it was good. But some were really very fanciful and very marvelous. But it doesn't matter. It's the world I created. And I loved it. I loved it. Do you love it? Do you love everything you do? I'm at peace with the world I've created. Are you at peace with the world you created? Think about it. What fun things have you done that make you happy. Now, we looked at that movie, Dave, last night. Charming movie. It showed some of the insights into government. Most interestingly, I enjoyed the film script afterwards. The listing of characters and how every single one of the senators and various other people in government played themselves. Oh, they had just a cameo role, maybe a second or two on the film, but it was good. And they were their own miserable self and their own good selves. It was their normal attitude of objection, 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 or agreement, agreement, agreement. You could see right in their faces, right in their attitudes. In just a 2 second, 3 second, 5 second interview where each one had a little cameo role. Beautiful. Now, let's look at the main character. Not the president, but the president's look-alike. What was his major fault? His major fault was that he believed all the world was interested in being a loving, gentle soul to all the rest of the world. All the world would find a place for his project to be complete. The film opened with him going to one of his dear friends and saying, "You got room in your business for this woman. She needs a job, you know. Her husband's got this problem. She's got this problem. You need her in your business." He said, "No, I don't. I don't have any more place. You bring me so many people. You're bringing so many people from your business placement bureau. I have no place for these people." "Sure you do. Let's go play golf." "I can't take off in the middle of the day to play golf. I got to run my business." Well, you see, she got the job. Wherever he went, he did everything out of the purest of love. He was a happy guy, riding his bike, going around town, catching the kids' ball as they were throwing it down the street and throwing it back to him. Just a love. "I am at peace with the world I've created." My, how he could say that. And then, when they made him a look-alike for the president, and he had to actually perform some of the presidential duties, what did he do? He said, "It's one thing to be a clown and pretend you're the president and pick on the president and find all of his funny faults. But it's another thing to sit in his chair and wield his pen and make his decisions." And when he did that, he was a master. He said, "I didn't realize these things were being signed in the president's name, and I'm supposed to be the president, and that's happening." He found beauty all around him. He found beauty in his life. He found goodness. Why? Because he was goodness in his soul. "Now I am only perfection. Wherever I look in the mirror, I see perfection. Whatever I speak to, I see perfection." Do you do that? Do you see perfection wherever you are? In everything that you do? It's kind of nice, isn't it? But you only see it if you really are interested in seeing it. Look at your life. My sister was unhappy with my brother, and my brother was unhappy with my sister, and they were at knit needles and pins for 30 years. And as soon as they stopped being unhappy with each other, as soon as Ray realized, "Hey, you can't be unhappy with May. She's just not herself right now. I'm really only unhappy with myself." And I said, "Well, let's go to their birthday dinner." "Sure." It's like he's been saying, "I wanted to go all these years, but I couldn't stop myself from thinking unhappy things." See, it was only him thinking the unhappy things. The world didn't think the unhappy things. But he thought the world thought unhappy things. So the world thought unhappy things because he thought the world thought unhappy things even while the world was not thinking unhappy things. Our world is always a reflection of us and only us. Now we ask the question about somebody dying or somebody being very sick. And what are we supposed to do? Well, I am at peace with the world I have created. I'm at peace with the world I've created. I'm at peace with the world I created. If you were not here, what difference would it make if somebody were dying or sick or anything like that? No difference at all, would it? You'd say, okay, I'm going, it's your game, your ball game, do as you wish.
But don't you care anymore?
No. I'm going to go, I never really did care. If you played the game like I liked it to be played, then I thought you were real nice. When you played the game like I didn't like it to be played, I didn't even pay attention to you. I didn't even pay attention to you. You know, a man had a funeral. He died first, you know. He had a funeral. And two people came to the funeral. One was the police, because they wanted to make sure he was dead, that it really was him. And the other was his estranged wife, who also wanted to make sure he really was dead. They didn't love him. They didn't care about him. They wanted to make sure he was dead, because then they could close the book on that chapter of their life. Now, what if they had closed the book on that chapter of their life while he was alive? What if they had released him from their consciousness while he was alive? What would happen? How do we empower things in our life? How do we give power to things that take place in our world? And we'll come to the practitioner point in just a minute too. But how do we empower things in our life? By our thought. When you say to a child, you always are so stupid, you're always making those mistakes, you're always doing everything wrong, I don't know what we're going to do with you. Well, the child becomes frustrated too. He doesn't know what he's going to do with him. He says, Mommy, I chose you as my teacher. I chose you as my mommy. I chose you to show me the way. I chose you to crack down on me to be good, not to let me be irascible, not to let me be something that you cannot control. I chose you, Mommy. Mommy, I chose you. Little children are crying for help constantly, and parents are ignoring it because they think the children are just being bad. The children want attention and they want direction. Well, now, our creation are our little children, and they want attention and they want direction. And if we give them the wrong attention, you always do stupid things, you're always terrible, then that's what they're going to be, because we're empowering that about them. But if we say to them, my, that was so beautiful what you just did. What'd I do? As though it's the first thing they did good. Well, you picked up those little stones that fell off your shoe when you came in the house, so you wouldn't push them down into the linoleum. That's wonderful of you. I just didn't want to step on them barefoot. That's okay, whatever the reason is, that was wonderful. I thought you did it so you wouldn't step it into the linoleum. Well, I just did it because I didn't want to step on them with my bare feet. That's okay. That's okay. We both got exactly what we wanted. And we both accomplished what we wanted. Now, are you happy?
Sure.
Am I happy?
Sure.
Let's always make each other happy. And little by little, the child and the mother are making each other happy all the time, and they have a very happy life. They're very contented. They're very peaceful. Now, there are people who die in our world and who are sick in our world. Now, is this going to be good or bad? Well, let's just put it this way. No one has to die, and no one has to be sick. We don't have to empower that. You say, well, a little late. My mom just died already. My dad's already gone, you know. My brother and sister, you know, they left this mortal coil by an accident or something. But, hey, you released them. You let them go. Did you, as a practitioner, every moment of your life, surround those people you care about, as you say you care about, with your hate and your anger? No. With your pure white light of love? If you surround them with your hate and anger, they'll die in your world very early. You see, you're the only creator on the face of this earth. You're the only person that matters. And everyone will be living in your world or dying in your world according to your thought. So now, if you love Ellen, wrap her in your pure white light of love. Ingeborg was in the hospital in Italy, and the doctor said, "That's it. That's all she writes." And Ellen went to the hospital and says, "No! She's whole and perfect. She's whole and perfect. She's whole and perfect. She's whole and perfect." Ellen loves Ingeborg. Ellen created Ingeborg in her world whole and perfect. Ellen stood at Ingeborg's bedside in the face of all the medical profession there and said, "She's whole and perfect." They wanted to bring the priest in to give her the last rites. They didn't know she was a minister already. They didn't know she wasn't ready for a priest. That was another era of her life. They waited too long. And Ellen says, "No way. No way is anyone giving her the last rites before she kicks off this mortal coil. No way." You see, Ellen loves Ingeborg. And of course, I must correct that. Ellen loves herself. Ellen loves herself. "I am at peace with the world I've created." Ellen loves the world she created. Now, the world she created happened to, at that moment, have Ingeborg in it. And she wanted Ingeborg to experience what she believed Ingeborg was. She didn't want to hear what those doctors had to say. She didn't want to empower what the doctors had to say. She could have buried Ingeborg over there in Italy and then not had to fool around with her. But Ingeborg is not a person. Ingeborg is a creation of Ellen. And she's a creation of each one of us. How are we going to create that in our life? Now, you say, "Well, Mother is so sick, you know, it'd be nice if she could be released. And you know, May is so sick, it'd be nice if she could be released. And this and that." No way. I make these comments to you from time to time because I believe they are sick and they should be released, right? No! I am your sharer. I make these comments to you to see where your consciousness is. Are you so happy to say, "Oh yes, that would be so nice if she could be released from all that pain and suffering"? No! You're the creator of your world. You don't even know my sister very well. You met her once or twice, but you can't dust her off like that and kill her just because I said that she wants to be released from her pain. Yes, be released from her pain. She's whole and perfect, that's why. Yes, be released from her pain because she is living in wholeness and purity. When anyone comes up to you in your world and tests you, and they will, the little child runs up to his mother. This is so easy. He says, "Mommy, I just broke my leg. Oh, it hurts so bad." He comes running up, you know. And so Mommy bends down, kisses the injury and says, there, now it's all perfect." "Oh, Mommy, you're so wonderful." And the kid runs off to play, whole and perfect. You see, the mommy hasn't got time for nonsense. She sees it whole and perfect. Now, she might cuddle him and say, there, it's all right. But that's making a big thing out of it. That's empowering the attention to the problem continuously, again and again and again. Fortunately, mothers don't have much time, and so they just say, "Kiss, hold, perfect." Sometimes just that, you know, or some, you know, aim it. "You want the rest of these? Okay, include it." That's good. But this is what it's all about. You are the creator of your world. Now, are you at peace with your creation? Are you at peace? Are you peace? If you're at peace with your creation, my goodness. What did we laugh about in the movie last night? Especially me, I laugh at things, and I cry at things, and I have a lot of fun. "Herb, why do you have emotions?" Oh, come on now, get off it. I played the game. Don't you play the game? I play the game enjoying the movie. When I enjoy a movie, I laugh and barrel all out. You saw that. Maybe you were laughing so loud you couldn't hear me. That's okay too. But enjoy it. Enjoy it. Ellen leaves the Hermitage over there in the morning. And if the sun is peeking over the hill, she says, "Good morning, son! Good morning!" The son says, "Ellen, I'm just getting up now. I haven't quite got my stable legs just to knock it off. But it's good morning!" "All right, it's a good morning. I'll wake up quicker now." You see, that's great. That's great. What do you say to the morning? You say, "Oh my God, it's another morning. We were up so late last night, and we slept in this morning." You know, we talked to Linda, the girl at the restaurant who waits on tables there and runs the whole show when she's on duty. A good girl. She is so naive. She thinks all the world is wonderful. She is so naive, she thinks that she can tell everybody everything. And you know what she tells people? She tells everybody the truth about herself. She tells everything about her kids, everything about her husband. No secrets. And my God, oh, the things she says. How wonderful, isn't it? A pure spirit. A pure soul who has nothing to hide. What do we have to hide? Do we have to hide that our mother is not happy or not well? That our brothers and sisters or father or grandparents? My wife, she is such an interesting person. I was going to say klutz. An interesting person. He always calls me when somebody needs a healing. And I think to him, why does she bother calling me when someone needs a healing? She's a practitioner. Why does she call me when someone needs love and attention? You know why? It's an excuse. It's an excuse to call. It's an excuse to talk to me. I know that. Why do little children hurt themselves sometimes, haha, and then run to mommy, "Mommy, it hurts"? Because they want a little more cuddling. They want a little more loving. They want mother to stop for a minute and say, "Sweetheart, I love you. It's okay now. All is perfect." Our world wants a little loving. How are you creating your world? Are you creating your world lovable? Are you creating everybody in your world as someone you'd like to hug and snuggle with? If you aren't, you should. You're in charge. You're the only one. And if there's a problem in your world, walk right up to it, just like Dave did. He walked right up to it. Oh, what an actor. What a superb actor. He fooled a lot of people. But he fooled nobody. The person he was portraying was a rather difficult man who had self before service, and his job was a job of service. He could have his self activities, but it was the service first. Well, this young man put service before self. And that was so beautifully illustrated by his Secret Service guard. And the guard says, "I would take a bullet for the president." And then the would-be president, or the Dave, he says, "Would you? Would you take a bullet for me?" And you see, the guy, he didn't know what to say. This was a pretend president. This was not the real thing. But when he finished the show, he said, "You know, I would take a bullet for you any day." Yes. I would take a bullet for you any day. Would you give up your life to support your principles? Would you give up your life, or at least pretend to give it up, but eagerly put yourself in the line of danger to support your principles? You don't have to, you know. You don't have to get into danger to support your principles. But if you had to do that, would you do it? or would you run away? The man is going to rape the girl, and her belief is that no way. No way. I will not be molested. I will not be taken advantage of beyond my choice, ever. And the guy said, well, I'll kill you. She says, if that's what you must do, then fine. But she stood for her principle, and she died. Now, you say, but it's so relative, so unimportant. Yes, it is that, relative and unimportant. But that's all that we're here to do, is to stand up for who we are, believe in who we are, and be who we are. Not to be anybody else, not to play any other game, not to live under any other circumstance, just be ourselves and love ourselves and live who we are. That's all that matters. That's all that matters, that we just are at peace with our creation. Are you at peace with your creation? Think about this very seriously. Because if you're at peace with your creation, then all things work out in perfect harmony. When you're not at peace with your creation, then you're always having a tussle with everything. All the world around you is doing things, are doing things that are disturbing you. They're doing things that are making you unhappy. When you are at peace, you don't even see those things. They're happening, it's true, but you don't see it. You are untouched by them. It's not a matter that things stop happening in the world, that the relative world stops having its experiences, but you stop being touched by that. You stop being touched by anything outside of yourself, anything other than your creation. And if you want to go out and create people doing silly things, that's just fine. Because if you want to go out and create people doing silly things, they'll sure enough do silly things. And you know, Dave didn't look at any of the people in Washington as doing anything wrong. He said, these are our legislators, our governors. These are the people who write our laws. These are the people who set role models for us to follow of integrity, of purity and goodness. He didn't go into their personal lives. He didn't go into their personal ethics or their business ethics. He just said, they are there for a purpose. They are there for a purpose. And he gave a speech that the bad president had given. And he gave it with such enthusiasm that it sounded like the bad president. And then, who was it? It was his friend in court who had written it. You see, the goodness just compounds and compounds and compounds when the goodness is all that we choose to experience in our life. And I'm at peace with the world I have. The world that I have. The world that I have. The world that I created. And I love it. So now you be a practitioner in the purest sense of the word and see all the world in truth expressing its archetypal purpose, its archetypal direction. See all the world revealing that for which it was designed. It was given the possibility of yes or no. Now, so to speak, right or wrong. And as long as you choose what's right for you, and as long as you don't choose what is wrong for you, then you're doing the right thing. It's not a matter of judgment. It's a matter of going to the garden and picking the flowers that appeal to you. It's not that you don't like the other flowers. You pick the flowers that appeal to you. Yesterday I took a few minutes and went into the side garden over here. And there's lots of water in that garden. It's watered very well, very well. And our little friends, the sticker weed was growing up 2.5-3 feet tall. There were about 3 dozen of them in there. They were just having a ball. And so I took my little dandelion picker and pop, 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 pop. Oh, they were tenacious. They held on to that soil. We're over our 30 minutes. They held on to that soil and they wouldn't let go. But I shook the soil off so that it would remain there. And then I threw them out in the drive. And I dug them all out. At least all I could observe quickly. And there were about 60 or 70 of them. Big old stickers in there. Big old weeds. But now they're not there. Now they're in the trash can. I looked out there and I saw only beauty from a distance. When I was close, I saw the weeds. And I thought, hey, I don't raise weeds in my garden. And I took them out, threw them away. And I look out there and I still see beauty. The weeds were beautiful too. But they weren't just what I wanted in my garden. We all make the choice. Now you make the choice too. You're the practitioner. See yourself perfect first, then see the world perfect. And that's what it is. I'm at peace with the world I have created. I love it. I'm at peace with the world I have created. I love it. I'm at peace with the world I created, and I love it. And I love you.